Beginning of the End, Chapter 56, Eli and His Wicked Sons. This chapter is based on 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 12 to 36. Eli, priest and judge in Israel, had a great influence over the tribes of Israel, but he did not rule his own household well. He was a permissive father, and he did not correct the evil habits and passions of his children. Rather than have conflict with them, he would give them their own way. The priest and judge of Israel had not been left in darkness about his duty to govern the children God had given to his care. But Eli pulled back from this duty because it involved crossing the will of his sons and would require punishing and denying them. He let his children have whatever they desired and neglected the work of fitting them for God's service and the duties of life. The father became subject to the children, and his sons did not begin to understand the character of God or the sacredness of his law. From childhood they had been familiar with the sanctuary and its service, but they had lost all sense of its holiness and meaning. Eli had not restrained their disrespect for the solemn services, and when they reached manhood, they were full of the deadly fruits of doubt and rebellion. Though entirely unfit, they were placed as priests in the sanctuary to minister before God. These wicked men carried their rebellion into the service of God. The sacrifices, pointing forward to Christ's death, were designed to preserve the people's faith in the coming Redeemer, so it was absolutely essential to precisely follow the Lord's directions concerning them. In the peace offerings, only the fat was to be burned on the altar. A certain specified portion was reserved for the priests, but the greater part was returned to the offerer to eat in a sacrificial feast with friends. This would direct all hearts in gratitude and faith to the great sacrifice that was to take away the sin of the world. Not content with their share of the peace offerings, the sons of Eli demanded an additional portion. The priests took these sacrifices as an opportunity to enrich themselves at the expense of the people. They not only demanded more than their right, but refused to even wait until the fat had been burned as an offering to God. They claimed whatever portion that they wanted, and if denied, threatened to take it by force. This irreverence robbed the service of its sacred meaning, and the people abhorred the offering of the Lord. They no longer recognized in the symbol of the offering the great sacrifice to which they were to look forward. Therefore, the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord. These unfaithful priests dishonored their sacred position by their evil, degrading practices. Many of the people were disgusted over the corrupt practices of Hophni and Phinehas, and they stopped coming to the place of worship. Ungodliness, immorality, and even idolatry became common to a terrible level. Eli had done great wrong in permitting his sons to minister as priests. Making excuses for them, for one reason or another, he became blinded to their sins. But at last he could no longer hide his eyes from the crimes of his sons. The people complained about their evil deeds, and the high priest did not dare to remain silent any longer. His sons saw the grief of their father, but their hard hearts were not touched. They heard his mild rebukes, but they were not impressed, and they would not change their evil course. If Eli had treated his wicked sons according to law, they would have been punished with death. Dreading to take any steps that would bring public disgrace and condemnation on them, he kept them in the most sacred positions of trust. He permitted them to corrupt the service of God and inflict an injury on the cause of truth that years could not undo. But God took the matter into his own hands. Eli's unfaithfulness leads to ruin. A man of God came to Eli and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, why do you honor your sons more than me, to make yourselves fat with the best of all the offerings of Israel, my people? Therefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor me I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before my anointed forever." Those whose blind affection for their children leads them to pamper them in their selfish desires, not rebuking sin and correcting evil, make it clear that they honor their wicked children more than they honor God. Eli should have first attempted to restrain evil by mild actions, but if these did not work, he should have subdued the wrong, even if by the severest methods. We are just as responsible for evils that we might have stopped in others by parental or pastoral authority as if the acts had been our own. Eli overlooked the faults and sins of his sons in their childhood, fooling himself that after a time they would outgrow their evil tendencies. Many today make a similar mistake. They encourage wrong tendencies in their children, offering the excuse, "They are too young to be punished. Wait until they become older and we can reason with them." Thus, the children grow up with traits of character that are a lifelong curse to them. There is no greater curse on a home than to allow youth to have their own way. The children soon lose all respect for their parents, all regard for authority, and become captive to the will of Satan. The influence of an undisciplined family is disastrous to society. It builds a tide of evil that affects families, communities, and governments. Thousands of homes throughout Israel followed Eli's family life. Actions speak louder than the most positive claim of godliness. The evils of parental unfaithfulness are great under any circumstances, but they are 10 times greater in the families of those who teach the people. Effective agents of Satan. When people use their sacred calling as a cover for selfish or sensual gratification, they make themselves effective agents of Satan. Like Hophni and Phinehas, they cause others to abhor the offering of the Lord. They may do their evil deeds in secret for a time, but when their true character is finally exposed, the faith of the people receives a shock that often results in distrusting anyone who professes to teach the Word of God. The message of the true servant of Christ is received with doubt, and the question constantly comes up, "Won't this man turn out to be like the one we thought so holy and found so corrupt?" Eli's reproof to his sons contains these solemn and fearful words, "If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him?" King James Version. If their crimes had injured only other people, the judge might have made reconciliation by setting a penalty and requiring repayment, and so the offenders might have been pardoned. But their sins were so interwoven with their ministry as priests of the Most High, the work of God was treated so disrespectfully and dishonored in front of the people that no atonement could be accepted for them. Their own father, though himself a high priest, dared not make intercession in their behalf. He could not shield them from the wrath of a holy God. Of all sinners, the ones who are most guilty are those who throw disrespect on the way that heaven has provided for our redemption, who crucify again for themselves the Son of God, and put him to an open shame. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 6.